The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks, as always, for hanging out with me for this 1 hour on a beautiful Thursday night, humid in South Central Indiana, or Saturday mornings driving around doing fun things, or of course on WGCLradio.com, or wherever you pick up your favorite podcast as well. And don't forget to continue to listen to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. Continue to put those out each and every week. And we'll see if I continue to do it weekly or if I'm going to move to bi-weekly. I don't want to lose steam for sure, but I also don't want to just do podcasts just to do them. And I want to do the research necessary to bring you some great, relevant information. All right, going to have a fun one today. I know 4th of July is just around the corner, and everyone knows that means Independence Day. But it was interesting because I was out of town on Sunday, and then Monday was Juneteenth, and I was asking some people, just random people, hey, what is Juneteenth? Not a lot of people knew exactly what that was. And I'm like, they needed to come up with a better name, more descriptive name of what Juneteenth is. If later down the road, 100 years from now, they want to start calling it Juneteenth like we call it 4th of July, everyone knows what 4th of July is. It's our Independence Day, but not everyone knows Juneteenth. So I'm pushing for renaming Juneteenth to a different name that everyone understands what it's about. And then many years down the road, if you want to change it and start referring to it as Juneteenth, then more power to you. So anyway, we have reopened this week. The markets are, turning around somewhat. We're going to have Hot Rod on in a few minutes to get his take on where we are on things. And then later on, what's the best thing to do if you have cash? Invest it? Spend it? Maybe pay off some debts? Well, I'm going to have fun with that one when we get to it. But let's get to a little news of the week brought to you by, of course, Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance with Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. Elder care guy. If you have a mom, a dad, you're married, your husband, wife having some issues, you definitely need to get in to see Lance at the Like Law Group. And then Kenny Bland Auctions, go visit them at kennyblandauctions.com. They are your full-service auction service. They will pre-plan the sale of your estate and real estate. So again, visit them online. And finally, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your electrician like they are mine. They are a specialist in generators and solar arrays, veteran-owned. Find them on Facebook, give them a call, Google them, call my office, I guess, whatever you need to do to find old Tim and the gang at Unrivaled Electric. And that's about it. All right, where are we on things? Well, when the S&P closed at 36.67 last Thursday, the index was down a whopping 23.6% from its all-time closing high back on the 3rd, my sister's birthday of January. Of course, that bear market is what we call it when the market dips below 20% or more. That's the 11th bear we've seen since 1950. And the second since the start of the big pandemic back in March of 2020. It does take a while, typically, not like 2020, but after suffering 10 separate bear markets between 1950 and 1921, the S&P recovered and eventually achieved an all-time high each time. The average length of time it took to retrace its step from bear market low to new highs, 25 and a half months, a little more than 2 years. The quickest recovery for stocks took place just over 3 months. Can you guess when that was? You might say 2020, right? Nope, 1982 was the quickest recovery from a recession. The longest, a painful 70 months or nearly 6 years between 1974 and 1980. That was a wicked time. Kind of what people are somewhat translating in today's world, right? High inflation, wages, maybe stagflation, all this kind of stuff. So hopefully we don't replay 1974 to 1980. You know, everyone says, oh, the Japanese and Chinese own all of our debt. Well, that's not really true. In fact, who owns more debt than anyone of the U.S.? It's actually ourselves. The Fed holds twice the level of Treasury securities, $5.4 trillion, as it's held by Japan and China combined, which they have combined $2.3 trillion of the U.S. Treasuries. And we, myself and I, as the Fed, owns our own at $5.4 trillion. The yield on a 10-year Treasury note has more than doubled year-to-date, rising from 1.496 at the close at the end of the year to 3.22 as of the close on the 17th. Over the last, this is incredible, folks. This is why when you hear me say, we've never been here before, we've never been here before. Over the last 60 years, the yield on the 10-year note has never doubled over the course of an entire calendar year. That's 1962 through the end of 2021. You know, and there's just not a lot of happy campers out there. I see them every day. I talk to them every day. When I was traveling out of town, same thing. Consumer sentiment of the American shopper, that's an indicator of how optimistic consumers feel about their finances, fell in June of 2022 to the lowest level ever. Yes, ever. Consumer sentiment has been tracked since January of 1978. That comes from the University of Michigan. Big Blue. You know, people, a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, but I think people look at these folks making, you know, $250,000 or more and thinking, golly, they must have it made. Well, believe it or not, 36% of households making at least $250,000 a year are living paycheck to paycheck. That comes from Lending Club. A few more things here that are of interest, I thought was, and only because in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article just on Wednesday. More teachers are quitting. Schools out for the summer, and many fed-up educators say they won't be back in the fall. Well, there's all kinds of tricks to try to get them back. Please stay and teach, says the Omaha public school system. After losing 1,250 full-time teachers at the end of the most recent year, they said, we'll pay you $4,500 per year of your teacher salary, if you're a full-time teacher on salary in the system for the next 2 years, if you'll just please stay. Well, it's hard for these teachers. You know, they're getting asked to do things they aren't supposed to really, they didn't sign up for. They can't do the things they know that they need to do. They're being asked to, you know, it's just crazy. And I don't blame them. I mean, it's tough to be a teacher. So they're underappreciated, underpaid. So I think our educational system is in the midst of being rethought, retooled, re-something. I think teachers are in need from bottom up. Well, all right, let's do one more. This is just, I have to do this one. So the price of Texas crude closed at $37.96 a barrel back in June of 2020, 2 years ago. I was on the Gulf of Mexico fishing on that day, and I was out there for a Father's Day fishing trip, and I just returned from a Father's Day fishing trip, exact same trip, Gulf of Mexico, 2 days on the water, all the way out to the oil rigs. In 2020, it was a ghost town. This year, oil closed at 109.56 on the 17th of June, and I was out there again, and guess what? It was like a carnival out there. I mean, every rig lit up, people... It was crazy. Big oil tankers coming in. It was insane. If you ever get a chance to go out to the fields and it is evening time, it is like you're out in outer space because all these big lights and looks like big spaceships on the water. It's incredible. And then lastly, the price of lumber has been coming down, believe it or not. It more than quadrupled during the pandemic before falling 65%. From its all-time high back in May of 2021, but it's still 45% higher today than it was at the end of 19. So lumber was trading at $403. They call it a board foot back at the end of 19. It went all the way up to $1,686. Then it fell back to $585 as of Friday the 17th on a board foot. So what's a board foot? That's equal to a piece of lumber that is 1 foot in length, 1 foot wide, but just 1 inch thick. Pretty expensive stuff. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get old Hot Rod on the line to see what's been going on in the markets. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Rod Holloway joins us now. Rod, I'm getting my news like most people get their news from my iPhone. I flip over two swipes and start shooting up the hill, and now we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. And what started off to be a pretty solid week in trading just went flat here on this Wednesday. But I'm seeing headlines like, you know, American Airlines to drop service in Forest City in September. More offers are being rescinded from companies. All these, you know, kids coming out of school, they're being rescinded. Powell concedes aggressive rate hikes won't solve gas and grocery prices. I mean, who else? This is the best place to get the news, right? Because they give you everything you want to see and read about. But there's just a lot on the plate right now, Rod. And I know last week was a bloodbath. We had you on last week. This week it seemed to have started off pretty good to go flat on this Wednesday. What's been driving things lately, and where are we on things today?
Yeah, so I think we're in a similar pattern we've been in for a little while, although last week had a reset from the standpoint of we broke the old lows and set new lows for the year. But beyond that, we just really this year have not been able to get much momentum more than a day or two. We did hear, it's been maybe 3 weeks ago now, maybe even almost a month, we had a 1 week where we gained about 6% on all three of the major indices. But that's been one of the few weekly gains we've seen in a while. I think it's 10 out of 11, maybe even 11 out of 12 now, down weeks that we've had versus only that one up week. So it's really just kind of a continuation right now in which it appears as though when we have a market rally, what it does is brings out some sellers who were kicking themselves that they didn't sell sooner. So they're sitting there and playing that waiting game for a rally and then choose to jump in and sell a little bit. So yeah, to your point, we finished last week decent with a solid move on Friday, had a big strong move then this week on Tuesday, because of course the market was closed Monday for Juneteenth, the holiday. And then we just turned around and we didn't give everything back as far as what we got, because we were only down a little bit. We're down 0.15 on the Dow, 0.13 on the S&P, 0.15 on the NASDAQ. So we didn't give a whole heck of a lot back today. But just the fact that we just can't seem to string together multiple positive days in a row or even leading to very many positive weeks obviously makes it very hard to start grinding higher versus breaking this trend of downward sloping in which we thought we were going to find support and had for a while at around 3,900 on the S&P. We blew past that last week and we're sitting down at around 3,759, I think, is roughly where we closed at today.
You know, and before you came on, I did my news of the week and I was like, wow, you know, the 10-year Treasury has more than doubled year to date. It started off at 1.49. It ended the close of trading on the 17th at 3.22. Over the last 60 years, the yield on a 10-year note has never doubled over the course of an entire calendar year. And I was meeting with some folks today, Rod. I'm like, yeah, I know. I mean, the bond market's down about 11-12%, whichever one you're looking at. The main one is the ag. Yeah, it's crazy to see bonds that mature 6-7 years from now that were paying 2-2.5%. Doesn't sound terrible, you know, getting 75 cents on the dollar if you want to sell them today. Once again, coming back to what we've been saying through all of this, is that even those of you that think I'm in a conservative portfolio or balanced portfolio, this is one of the first times since probably 2008 that we've been getting hit from both sides. Typically, you know, if you're getting hit on one side, you're okay on the other side or vice versa. But throughout this time, it's been brutal. But, you know, credit to people. I haven't really sensed any real panic, certainly amongst our client base. You know, they're pretty well trained to understand what the purpose of each account is and all of that and feel comfort in that. And we've been through a few bumps together in the past. But, you know, generally just out talking with people, sure, you know, sentiment's way down, the lowest it's ever been. I mean, since 1978, they started tracking this through the University of Michigan. June of 2022, the lowest it's ever been. And, you know, but people are still spending. At this point, they're still spending. The roads were packed. Tons of people down in the Gulf Shores area, that's where I was to go on my fishing trip. So it hasn't slowed down yet. But, man, I can tell you, there's a lot of people out there that just are grumpy about how things are going in a lot of different areas of life. So that's what makes me step back and really think, We've never been here before. We've never had treasuries jump so quickly. We've never had consumer sentiment so low. And I think you said it last week, which we just don't know when this is going to turn around. And we certainly don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've never had quantitative tightening, because prior to having quantitative easing coming out of the 2008 financial crisis, we've never had quantitative easing.
15 years. Yeah. 15 years.
Exactly. So there are a lot of things out there that we haven't seen before. So whether it is a number, as you alluded to, of the yield on the 10-year and how quickly we move from that low to where we have seen it here recently, or just the Fed in general, in which we haven't seen quantitative easing, then rolling into quantitative tightening. So since we've never seen the quantitative tightening, we most certainly have never seen quantitative tightening at the same time that the Fed's raising interest rates. So this is all new territory. And one point that I have made with Glass on his show in regards to the things you're saying, technically we have not hit a recession. First quarter was a negative GDP. By most accounts, the estimate for second quarter is that it'll be positive, not by a whole heck of a lot. But the technical definition of a recession is when you have consecutive negative prints on your GDP. But that does not mean that individuals do not feel as though they're in a recession. There's no doubt that while people have received very nice pay raises over the last year, they've been all wiped out and then some due to the cost of gas, of food, of basically everything. There is inflation everywhere we look. So this isn't isolated to a few sectors or anything. So no doubt that the consumer sentiment side is down. I think what's interesting is the negative feel, the negative conversations you hear, the griping you hear of people when they leave the grocery store, they leave the gas station, but at the same time they are continuing to spend, at least for the summer. That's where my concern has been in, is that we will fall into a false trap of feeling as though the consumer is doing much better than he really is, because the consumer is plowing ahead with summer vacations because they have put some of these off for a couple of years. In many cases, they're probably dealing with vouchers that, if aren't used by the end of this year, may expire and go away from previous trips that were canceled. So yes, the consumer is telling you they don't feel as good as what their current spending patterns are showing, and at some point in time, those two dots will end up connecting, in which how they feel will begin to affect how they spend, and if they don't start feeling better, that means they're going to start spending less.
Folks, the key here is you have leading indicators, which are indicators that lead us somewhere. You have lagging indicators, which honestly, when you look back, say it's tell you where we were and probably how we got there. I'll tell you this, Hot Rod. Here I am down in Alabama, you know, Florida, Georgia, whatever, the Alabama line. You know what I'm talking about, down in Gulf Shores.
Yep.
And we weren't really anywhere but on the water for the most part. But the one trip I made into the grocery store to pick up, you know, snacks for the trip, I'm a people watcher. You know, I'd like to see what people are doing, what they're thinking. And that, to me, is a leading indicator. So to your point, this family came out with just a couple bags of, you know, the plastic bags in each hand. It was a mom and a couple kids. And I heard her say to her, like, probably 10-year-old kid, just talking to, you know, no one really, like, can you believe I just spent $120 and I have two bags? And I'm like,
yeah,
that lady, she's pissed off. I mean, she's not happy at all. And I think that's trickling through and it'll eventually catch up, as you said, as I just said, as a leading indicator. And then we'll have our lagging indicators to look to. And, you know, I think Powell was testifying, was it today or yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yep.
He doesn't seem to appear to be letting
tomorrow.
Up. And, I mean, at this point, they don't seem to be wanting to let up. And I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying that, you know, in expectations of what's to come, where are we today? You know, do we think it's going to get worse before it gets better? It usually does in a lot of different ways. Does the market, has it already priced in all these things or not? You know, is there a surprise out there waiting, a black swan of some type we haven't thought about? You know, so these are the things that make our job difficult, your job difficult to do on the investment side, our job more difficult to manage expectations and keep people accountable to their goals and what they're after. Because like I mentioned in the news of the week, recoveries, they happen. They always do. If you go back and look at the last 11 bear markets, I'm not sure I shared this with you, but you probably know this, Rod, but when the S&P closed at 36.67 on the 22nd, it was down 23.6% from its all-time high back in my sister's birthday, January 3rd of this year. And that, therefore, is a bear market under 20%. But here's the interesting thing. After suffering 10 separate bear markets between 1950 and 1921, the S&P eventually recovered and it set all-time highs again. It always has. The average length it took to retrace its steps from the bear to the high is 25 and a half months, a little more than 2 years. The quickest recovery for stocks took place in just 3 months. And that's sort of a little bit of a bait and switch, because people are like, wow, I know, it was 2020. I remember it went down and went right back up. Well, actually, it was 1982. It took just 3 months. But the longest recovery took 70 months, or nearly 6 years. So the expectations, folks, is yes, it could go lower before it goes higher. Is it going to get high? Is it going to hit these new highs in 3 months like it did in 1982, or 5 months like it did in 2020? Or is it possible that we get into a long recovery like we did in 1974 to 1980, where it took nearly 6 years? I certainly don't think so. We're probably, in my opinion, I'm not sure of yours, Rod, I think if people focus on the fact that it could take 25 months, 2 years to get back to where we were, hopefully they're not disappointed and they're satisfied that possibly we get there a little bit early. But we just don't know, dude. I mean, that's, I guess, the point we're trying to make.
Yeah, you most certainly don't, and that's part of the difficult side of things. And I had that conversation with a client earlier, was that I have no concerns about a recovery. I know we are going to have a recovery. Now, pin me down on when the recovery is, and that's when I'm a little less confident in an answer that I have for you. I don't know exactly when it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be a rapid recovery, if it's going to be a long, slow, drawn-out recovery. I think much of that obviously will be dependent on what happens with inflation. How far does the Fed go with interest rates before they feel as though they've done all they can? The reality is the Fed may stop before inflation is taken care of, because Powell did acknowledge today there are certain aspects within the marketplace in inflation that they are not going to be able to control just with interest rates. Energy and food being the two predominant ones out there, which, of course, those are the two that touch everybody. There isn't anybody out there that doesn't need gasoline in some way, shape, or form, and doesn't need food in some way, shape, or form. But those are the things they can't control, so it makes it extremely difficult to predict ahead of time when this recovery will happen, how rapidly that recovery will happen, and exactly where a bottom is at. So in the short term, we have to look for technical indicators, look for areas of support and resistance to give us some short-term indication, and then more importantly, begin to look at fundamentals. So along the fundamental side, I know one area fundamental, historically when the market has sold off and you had bear markets, the market tends to find a bottom somewhere around a 14 to 16% price-to-earnings multiple when you're looking out at the next 12 months' earnings. We are setting it at a little under 16, around 15.85 as of 2 days ago, where we were at on that. So potentially we still have a little ways to go on the price to earnings, but at the same time, we have most certainly done a big correction in that price to earnings multiple, which had been up over 20 there for some time and stayed consistently there. Matter of fact, the 5-year average forward-looking 12-month price to earnings multiple, 18.94, almost 19, and we're down under 16. So we are most certainly getting closer to a valuation perspective for people to feel comfortable that valuations are getting to a point to where maybe there are some ideas out there compelling enough to start buying into this market.
Rod, we appreciate you as always. I'll, of course, listen to Rod on Glass in the afternoon. He's off this week, but he'll be back strong on Monday of next week. And as always, Rod, you gave us a lot to think about and a lot to consider, and we're certainly grateful that your hands are on the wheel, at least for us down at our ranch. So thanks so much, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Dave. Have a great show.
We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, how in the world did this client have $3 million pass away, but only $30,000 of it went through his estate in probate? And if you're under 50 grand, it's considered a small estate in Indiana. So it's curious. I'm just curious. Like, aren't you? Like, how in the heck did he do that? We'll be back. I'll tell you all about it. You You know, you hear this a lot with people. How do I avoid probate, right? What is probate? Well, people think it's that dirty little word that says, okay, I've died. It's being advertised to the world that I've died. And does anyone have claim to it? Now, on a certain level, that could be true, because if you do have a probated estate, which means it didn't go direct transfer to people or places, then, yeah, there's some advertisements that are around in the paper or other means to advertise your estate. Are there any claims against it? You know, once it goes through probate, it can be, you know, it could be a little costly, a little lengthy, but not necessarily any more costly than other forms of getting your money directed to where you wanted to get it to go. But, you know, it is a process, and a lot of people want to avoid that. So how do you avoid that? Well, most people say, well, I'll do a trust. Right, a revocable living trust, and I title everything into the trust. I die, my successor trustee takes over, they distribute everything. It does not go through probate, but the downside is that it never really goes away necessarily. It never gets closed. Well, when probate gets closed, it's over. Well, so there's, you know, pluses and minuses with all that. So how did my client with $3 million pass away and only $30,000 went through his estate? And that's being probated. And in Indiana, if you're under 50K, it's considered what's called a small estate. So you do the small estate affidavit and distribute the assets from there. So you don't have to go through some crazy hairy process. Well, it's in the way he titled his assets. Now, what do I mean by that? Anything that you have titled correctly can transfer directly to whoever you want it to go to. It can be a charity. It can be a person. So what does that mean? Well, if I have an investment account, let's say, full stocks, bonds, whatever, it's not in an IRA or 401k, I can set up what's called a transfer on death. It's essentially assigning a beneficiary to those accounts. The good thing is that even though it's a direct transfer and it doesn't go through probate, it still all receives that stepped up cost basis. So if your dad paid 30 grand for something and now it's worth $1 million, well, guess what? You inherit that direct transfer to you and your siblings, break it up three ways, four ways, whatever. Everyone gets their stepped up cost basis. You can sell that stock for the $1 million and pay no taxes at all. We did a complete podcast on stepped up cost basis on 2025, the final drive. What about pay on death? Bank accounts, right? You can do the same thing. Hey, when I die, pay it to this person. Boom, bring the death certificate in. Bang, it's yours. Doesn't go through the will, doesn't have anyone else's say so. It is a direct transfer. Transfer on death can also be on real estate, automobiles. In this case, this dude had everything set up to TOD or POD or he had designated beneficiaries on all his life insurance, his annuities, his IRAs, his Roth IRAs. All of it was designated to go to a person or a charity. And thankfully, he had great advice. No pat on the back here, but he had all of his Roth money going to his kids. Any charitable stuff he wanted to do, we did through the traditional IRA, leaving very little that's taxable to anybody. And the bottom line is, it all went to everyone and left it like 30 grand. I think it ended up being like a car and something else that was going to be probated. So a $3 million estate completely distributed without any attorney's help. All it was death certificates and a couple, you know, paperwork changes at the banks and investment firms, and voila, it was all in the hands of the people and places that he wanted it to go. In the small estate, you know, that's no big deal. It's still going to end up in the kids' names, but it's only 30 grand, should be done in a month or two. Now, what's the pitfall of that? Well, the pitfall would be if I had a will that said, hey, when I die, I want this money to go to the Boys and Girls Club. No plug there, even though I'm the chair of the Investment and Endowment Committee, and I am trying to get this Heritage Club off the ground, but no push that way. Or you want to leave it to the Humane Society or your church or whatever, and it's in your will, and nothing goes through your will because nothing's being probated. Well, none of those bequests get granted. So you have to be a little aware of the unintended consequences of having a probate-free estate. But it can be done. This dude did it. Everyone's happy. And I will end with this on this particular topic. Because he did the Roth conversion back, you know, a few years ago, you could do a Roth conversion. They let you spread the tax over a few years, right? 2 or 3 years. Well, he did that. He ripped the Band-Aid off, said, I'm paying this thing off today, and it's over. So he did. And now his kids inherit like $1 million of Roth IRA money. And they are not required to take any required distributions out of that because it's a Roth. And they have 10 years before they have to take it out. And they can let it just grow tax-free. So literally, they could just let it sit and grow. They put their children on as beneficiaries. If they die, they step into mom's shoes, and the tenure clock does not reset. They assume her tenure clock. But here's the bottom line. Had he not done that, these folks are in the highest tax bracket, 37% plus 5 state, 42% would have been completely gone. They would have had to continue to take required minimum distributions because dad had already started that, and could have wrecked their personal situation. You know, because you have to remember, a lot of times whenever you pass away, well, the kids are of an age either at their peak earning years or potentially retired themselves. And that was the case here, that the kids were actually newly retired themselves. So by doing a lot of really cool planning up front, this old cat, he avoided probate. He got tons of tax-free money to his kids and grandkids as well. Taxable money went to charity and put a stamp on it, and that was it. All right, when we come back, what is the best thing to do if you have cash? There's only three things in my mind you can do with it, right? Well, actually, four things. When we get back, we'll talk about that and what I would do if I had cash. You know where I'm headed with this. This is Your Money with David Hayes. So did you frequent a lemonade stand this weekend? It was lemonade day across Monroe County on Saturday. I was out of town, but we sponsored Lemonade Day, have since the very, very beginning when I championed Lemonade Day as just basically teaching young entrepreneurs how to establish a business, run a business, make money, how to pay back people, and then what you do with your money. You can spend it, you can save it, you can share it, right? There's three things you can do with it, and I would add a fourth one, or pay off debts. Right. And I'm almost always your pay off your debt advisor. That's my mentality. Now, sometimes mortgage debt's a little bit different. If you still have a job, you have a great rate, just service the debt, you know, no big deal. I think you can probably do better other places, but have a plan to pay it off by retirement, or have done the smart things with your money that you didn't use to pay off the house to have it available in case life throws a curveball at you and you need to pay it off. But here's what I would do with my cash. Yeah, I'd spend a little bit because that's fun. I would save some. That's a good, prudent thing to do. Certainly share some. That's always what you should be doing, right? And in the book, I talk about this. If you've read the book, that it's been in my witness, the people that share first always have more money to spend and save. But then what about paying off debts? Well, how about the tax debt on your retirement account? I love it, right, when people say, yeah, I'm debt-free, I have no house payment, I have no car payment, I have no payments at all. And I'm like, well, do you have a retirement account? And they're like, yeah. I said, well, you have a debt. It's called a tax debt that you owe against that account, and we know exactly what the debt is if you want to pay it off today, or you can roll the dice and hope that that debt goes down in the future, which we all know mathematically is an impossibility, so why not just pay it off now? So I've encouraged people to listen. If you have cash, yeah, you can invest it, and we can get a pretty decent return under the new rates that are out there floating around. You can share it, absolutely. Give whatever you want away. Yeah, you go on to spend some money, go spend it. Have some fun, enjoy life a little bit, right? Don't save yourself into retirement and then never spend it and have someone else take your money and blow it, which a lot of times happens. Do something smart with it. Do what the old boy did that I just described, and he got a probate-free estate. He took his cash at the time and said, you know what, I'm going to pay off the tax on this retirement account, so it's over. And it was over. And he paid it on like $300,000, right? So $300,000. He paid tax on $300,000. When he died, his retirement account, Roth, was well over $1 million. His kids inherited it completely tax-free. So if you do the math on that, okay, let's say he even spent $100,000, which I think is about what it was, like $50,000 a year for 2 years. So now you have to think, okay, wow, it cost me $100,000 to have $1 million tax-free? That's even cheaper money than what I thought of it before. So you got to think this through, folks, that listen, yeah, it's a lot right now. It stinks. It hurts. But think of the big picture. Think of what's the best use of my cash. It's being the purchasing power is dropping every day on top of that, right? So what happens is you get a double whammy. You have inflated prices on things because of inflation, and I mean on assets, right? My value of my dollar goes down, which means my taxes are higher. It's this big juggling mess, right? So you just have to think this all the way through. So what do you do if you have cash? Do whatever you want. But I love paying off debt, and my biggest concern, if I were you, would be the debt on my retirement account. So let's get that guy paid off. And then you'll be just like my friend who passed away at the ripe old age of 93 with over $3 million in his estate. I'm sorry, not in his estate, $3 million and only $30,000 through his estate and well over $1 million that went completely tax-free through a Roth. $1 million went tax-free through stepped-up cost basis. Some other annuities that were able to manage through some tax-efficient distribution methods to the kids and literally have a $30,000 probated estate, right? So it all ties together. This is what we call a coordinated plan, a multi-generational coordinated plan. So just not thinking about yourself, but thinking about your legacy, thinking about your family down the road. It's fun to do. It's fun to talk about, and certainly fun to see a plan come all the way together, which is a very rewarding thing for myself. All right, when we come back, quickly, only because it's come up recently, the will, the trust, all that, but you really, power of attorney, healthcare rep, why it came into focus just this week for me, I'll come back and share with you the story, and then if you're in this situation, how you should consider fixing it. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, so let's talk about healthcare representative. That's actually a document, and people say, well, what if I'm going in the hospital? I always get to say, okay, well, if something happens, then here, this person makes my decisions. Well, that's if you're cognitive enough to do it. But if I want to appoint someone currently to be my healthcare representative if I cannot make healthcare choices for myself. So my wife is, right? And then I have a backup, which is my father. I'm not quite ready to put my 21-year-old son as a backup healthcare representative. He's starting to get some idea of what he could possibly inherit, and therefore in a healthcare rep role would not be a prudent thing for the old man to do. So he's still over there on the sidelines, at least for now. But then more importantly, the other document is the power of attorney, and that's so if someone needs to make financial decisions for you, they can. And I always say, don't make it a springing power of attorney where it has to say, okay, doctors have to agree that you can't do it and someone else has to do it. Because really, honestly, folks, when you need a POA, if you've ever been in this position, you need it. Like right now, you don't want to have to go prove you need it. I need it. So if you're giving your power of attorney to someone, just give it to them. You obviously trust them anyway. My wife can do anything she wants with my power of attorney because it's the will, my will that she is using, right? It's not her own will. And then I have a backup as well. My brother, Dan, he's my power of attorney as a backup. So we have that all covered. But here's the thing that's come up recently. In that power of attorney, it may say something like, this person has the power to deal with all investment accounts. Well, you might think IRAs are covered under all investment accounts, right? Wrong. It actually has to have specific language, specific statute to talk about IRAs, 401ks, retirement accounts for your power of attorney to act. Many, many of these older power of attorneys, and I don't mean like 20 years old or even 10 years, like 3, 4, 5 years old, do not have that language in there. So, boom, we needed a power of attorney to take care of a retirement account for someone that was incapacitated. Well, guess what? The custodian, a big custodian, one that every single one of you will know, I'm not going to throw them under the bus, it's not their fault, they're just following the rules, said, nope, sorry, we cannot take that power of attorney because it does not have the specific language that addresses retirement accounts. Boom, done. They did not accept it. So review your power of attorney. You probably should have it reviewed. See if it has the language. And then the third thing, go ahead and get it pre-approved by the custodian. Bring it into your investment advisor. Would you submit this so that it's on record that they have accepted my POA? Then you don't have to go through all that rigmarole. And if they don't accept it, you're still able to fix it. And then get it back to them in the language that they need or want or desire or whatever the rules are at that time. And then don't forget about your young adult children. I mentioned my son, 21, right? You've grown up with him. He's 21. I've been doing the show for 20 years. I mean, you've heard me talk from baby to teenager to wrestling days to graduations, and here we are today. But here's the thing. If I needed to act for Will financially, I need to be his power of attorney. Just because he's my son, 21, I can't do that. He's not a dependent any longer. I have him filing on his own. or a healthcare rep, right? I had a friend have a kid hurt out in California and couldn't get any information because his son was 23 in a car wreck and he was not his healthcare rep. He didn't have one. So definitely take a step back and think, okay, my adult children, anyone over 18, let's get a power of attorney in place, even though they might not have anything. And let's get a healthcare representative in place as well so that if something happens, we can step in and act for them. We think of them as our kids, which we want to take care of and handle and nurture. Even like my mom said, you never forget that they're your kids, right? Whether they're 25, 35, or 45, but get a power of attorney in place for your adult, young adult children, all right? So hopefully, if nothing else from this show, you pick that one up. Let's take a quick break, come back, we'll wrap it up. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, people say all the time, how long, Hayes, are you going to continue to do this program? You know, people enjoy listening. I enjoy doing it, and that is the key. Until there's a day where I'm like, I don't want to come in and do this show today, then I'll probably hang it up. But I do appreciate the 20 years you've given me. I don't know if I'll be here 20 more years or not, or even 20 weeks. You know, Lord knows the way this world is. But I am grateful for it, and I hope that it brings value to your life, and you enjoy it, too, because we want it to be entertaining and fun on top of being informative. So we're going to have a show next week as we lead into Independence Day, 4th of July, my favorite holiday of the year by far. And then week of 4th of July, we will be back because 4th of July is on a Monday, which means Thursday is free and clear. And I'll be back the early part of July as we've, you know, clocked out on the second quarter and heading into quarter number three of the year 2022, believe it or not. So hopefully, you know, things will start to turn around in the third quarter and we'll get some clarity. We have a lot of things happening, right? A lot of we'll have midterm elections coming up. We'll have more Fed meetings to comb through. More earnings reports, right? We'll have all kinds of things, consumer sentiment. We'll have all kinds of things to come through and give you information on. But again, we don't want to be focused solely on investments because that's what everyone talks about. And that's why we don't dedicate entire shows to that. But we do have an obligation, in my opinion, to bring you the most up-to-date, relevant information, put things in perspective, keep you from freaking out, doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. Then also bring you some great planning concepts, ideas that you can go implement on your own or encourage you to seek out professionals that can help you with that. So just like in my book, when I write about, you know, you need a professional when things get serious, I'm serious about that. If you haven't read my book, please read it, get the Audible, whatever, or at least start to listen to the podcast. You'll get the gist of it, 2025, The Final Drive. Hey, everyone have a great weekend. I think it's going to still be hot, I think. So just stay cool, and we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.